hyperspace receded. Normally, a speed-stretched vista of stars would take its place, but out here, on the very fringes of the galaxy, they were pointing out into the relative black. Only the faint light of distant stellar islands existed to be warped by the ship's motion. With a gut-roiling wrench, the Auriga fire returned to real space, and the shaking resumed. Jet shut down the hyperdrives and put the repulsors on full. Ula was pressed into his seat as the ship came about. Sensors swept the sky ahead, revealing vistas unseen by anyone apart from Lima Zandret and her companions in the history of the galaxy. It was much lighter than Ula had expected. That was his first impression. As the ship hove about and the black hole came into view, he saw not a dark absence of light, but two bright yellow jets squirting from either pole of the singularity. That was what remained of the hole's last meal. A dead star, perhaps, or a lonely gas giant that had been unfortunate enough to cross paths with this bottomless monster. As though someone had crammed too much food into their mouth at once, some of the meal squirted back into space, blazing away like celestial torches against the backdrop of the galaxy. The second thing Ula noticed was the galaxy itself. The ship and its passengers were far enough away from the galaxy's inhabited disk that they could see it from the outside. A beautiful spiral with a fat central bulge, it occupied almost half the sky. As it swung into view, Ula forgot his anxieties for a moment and experienced nothing but breathless awe. Every nebula, cluster, and gulf was revealed to him with more clarity and beauty than any map could show. It was hard to believe that something so sublime could be the locus of so much war and grief. "There's the planet," said Jet, playing his instruments like a maestro.
"Sabaddon? Where?"
Shigar peered out the spectacular vista.
"There."
Jet indicated the display. Ula could see nothing more than a dot.
"It's farther out than I expected. We'll loop around the hole and catch it on the upswing."
"Is that safe?"
Ula asked.
"Relatively, as long as we don't come too close." Ula didn't want to ask.
Relative to what? Shigar was watching the display.
"No sign of any other ships," he said. "There's a small moon."
"How could it have a moon?"
asked Hetchki from the seat behind Ula.
"How could it be here at all?" added Loren. "A black hole will kill you if you come too close," said Shigar. "But not if you're at a safe distance. Things can easily orbit it. Sabaddon, any random piece of junk it snapped up over the years? Us?"
The way the ship was rattling didn't make Ula feel remotely safe.
"What about heat?" he asked. "Those jets are hot, but not that hot." "As the planet orbits, the hole's gravity will stretch and squeeze it, stopping its core from solidifying. I bet we'll see volcanoes when we get closer. That must be what's bringing all the rare metals to the surface, and carbon dioxide, too, which would also help keep the atmosphere warm."
The jets were getting visibly larger ahead. Clunker remained plugged in. Sabaddon was still invisible to the naked eye, and Ula gave up looking for it. An alarm sounded.
"Ships," said Jet. "Behind us, exactly where we came out."
"Who do they belong to?" asked Loren.
"Wait till we've gone around. Then I'll be able to tell you."
The display dissolved into static as they fell deeper into the black hole's frighteningly intense magnetic field. A smell of ozone filled the cockpit. Anything containing iron began to vibrate at an annoyingly high pitch.